Morning.
Are you the first?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's begin.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
Okay. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yodhe Bavache Be'yichud Ashalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kolenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kolenehu. Today we study the fourth aliyah, which begins with Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and completes at chapter 19, verse 14. This is a total of 27 verses. The number 27 connects to the energy of the Hebrew letters, as there are 27 letters. When we count the final letter forms as being different than the regular letter forms. Verse 22. Uyet zachar lo tishkav mishkan ve'isha do evahi uv kol behema lo titen shikav techa L'tam ah va'isha lo ta'amod lifnei behema l'riva tevelu al taitam u v'koele ki v'koele nitme'u ha'goim Asher ani mishaleach mifnechem v'tit ma haaretz va'efpod awona alecha watakei haaretz et yoshvecha ushmartem matem Et hukotai, v'et mishpatai, willo
has joined.
Mikol ha-to-e-vot, ha-ele, ha-ezra, v'ha-ger, ha-gar, v'toch-tem, ki-et, kol ha-to-e-vot, ha-el asu anche ha-aretz asher lifnehem v'atit ma ha-aretz v'lo ta'kiyo ha-aretz erchem betamachem o ta'ka asher ta'a er ha-goy Asher lifnehem, ki kol asher ya'aseh mikol ha-to'evot ha'ele, v'nikretu hanfashot ha'oset mikerev amim ushmartem. Et mishmarti levilti asot mechukot ha-to'evot asher na'asu lifnehem v'lo titamu bahem ani Adonai yohewahe anu yo
has joined.
Yo Ahida Wandu Heyo Elohechem. Chapter 19, verse 1. Vaidaber Adonai Yo Hewahe Adanu Yo. Yo Ahida Wandu Heyo El Moshe Lemor. Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. We amarta lalechem. Kidoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani. Adonai yohewahe.
Has joined.
Yo ahe dawandu heyo. Elohechem ish imo. We aviv ti ra'u. We et shabto tai tishmoru. Ani Adonai yohewahe. Adanu yo. Yo ahe dawandu heyo. Elohechem, al tifnu, el ha'elilim, welohe maseka, lo ta'asu lachem. Ani Adonai yohewahe, adanu yo, yohahe dawandu heyo. Elohechem, waki tisbechu. Zevach shelamim l'Adonai yohewahe. Adanu yo, yohahe dawandu heyo. Lirton chem tisbachuchu. Bayom beyom zivachem. Yeakel umimacharat. Vehanotar ad yom hashlishi ba'esh yisarech. Ve'im he'akol ye'akel ba'yom hashlishi pigulhu lo ye'ratze. Ve'ochlav avonot. Aisaki et kodesh Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawandu heyo. Hichilel v'nichreta hanefesh ha'hi me'amecha u'tutrechem et ketzir artzechem. Lo tikale pa'at sad chalik zor veleket ketzircha lo teleaket yitarmecha
has joined
uferet karmecha lo tilakit. Telakate leani velagertazo o tamani Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawandu heyo Elohechem lo tignovo velo tekachashu velo tishachro Ish ba'amito lo tishavdu vishmi la'shaker v'hilalta et shem Elohecha ani Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawandu heyo lo ta'asok Et re'acha v'lo tigzol, lo talin pe'ulat. Sakiricha ad boker. Lo tikalel cheresh v'lifne, iver lo titen. Mikshaol ve'yareat, ve'yareta me'elohecha, ani Adonai, Yo hey wa hey adanu yo. Yo wa hey da wa do hey yo. That is the completion of the Hebrew reading. Now for the English translation. Chapter 18, verse 22. You shall not lie down with a male as with a woman. This is an abomination. This is a very famous verse that the I really don't know how to describe it because I don't remember the letters that they use, but it's basically the it's a political group that is trying to live without this issue. And there are many ways to understand this verse. But essentially what it's saying is, do not lie down with a male as with a woman. You lie with a male, face to back. You don't lie with a woman face to back, although that there are people who do that. The whole basic issue that would take a whole length of time for us to be discussing it. Just know that the real issue that this verse addresses is the concept of sodomy. Verse 23, and with no animal shall you cohabit to become defiled by it, and a woman shall not stand in front of an animal to cohabit with it. This is depravity. You shall not defile yourselves by any of these things, for the nations whom I am sending away from before you have defiled themselves with all these things. And the land became defiled, and I visited its sin upon it, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. So the nations that Israel defeated were vomited out, but there were three nations left in the land. And in modern Hebrew, when an Israeli, native-born Israeli, leaves the land of Israel to move into the exile, whether it's America, South Africa, or Europe, wherever he transfers to, it's referred to as the land vomiting him out or her out. But as for you, you shall observe my statutes and my ordinances. And you shall not do like any of these abominations, neither the native nor the stranger who sojourns among you. For the people of the land who preceded you did all of these abominations, and the land became defiled. This seems to be a duplication of what we've already read. And let the land not vomit you out for having defiled it, as it vomited out the nation that preceded you. We have the same thing being said. It seems to be a duplicate. So why would the Torah need to duplicate these instructions? Do we accept it as that it's duplicated because of emphasis, or is there some other spiritual reason? For anyone who commits any of these abominations, the persons doing so shall be cut off from the midst of their people. So is a karet being cut off from the midst of the people, is the effect of a karet? Is that a higher level or a lower level than the land vomiting the person out? And you shall observe my charge, not to commit any of the abominable practices that were done before you, and you shall not become defiled by them. I am Hashem, your God. You see the duplications in these verses? We're now moving to a different chapter. What does it mean, a different chapter? In the Torah scroll, there's a space. It's moving to a different paragraph. But there are places where there are spaces within a given paragraph. But there are different ways for those spaces to appear in the scroll. One is you finish a line, and then the next line begins after the space at the end of the line. Another way is there's a separation between the first part of a line where there are letters, and the separation can be either nine letter spaces, and then you finish the line again after the nine spaces. And another way is that there's 16 spaces. Why is it 9 and why is it 16? You should know the answer to those questions. Why does it mean that it begins on another line? All of these are ways of understanding the Torah and the messaging of the Torah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You said that the land, if you're not living in Israel as a Jew or as an Israelite, that it vomits you out. Well, isn't it in the Torah that you should go out to the ends of the universe or earth to preach, to teach the word of Hashem? Would that be vomiting them out, or is that just some other understanding of why he says go out? Would that go out to the boundaries of Israel or Jerusalem and teach the Torah?
If the temple is existing on the physical level, do you need to go out to teach the Torah?
No.
So there is a mitzvah to live in the land when the temple exists. One of the reasons that the land vomited the nation of Israel out of the land, one of the reasons is explained that we did all these negative actions, including idol worship and the like, and so the land vomited the nation out, and that's why the temples were allowed to be destroyed. That's why the nation of Israel was defeated in its own land, because the individuals were then put in the various countries. They were sold as slaves into all of the countries, and they developed their own culture in each country. And yet, they also studied the Torah. And that's why the Yehuda Hanasi, the prince, when he was developing the Talmud, broke the halakha that it shouldn't be written down, because he said, well, we all have to be reading from the same thing so we don't lose track and we don't separate. But one of the reasons that we live in the exile is to be an example as a teaching mechanism to the other nations. So, have I answered your question, Malka, or do I need to discuss it in more?
Well, okay, so we're just dealing in a framework of that century as to why they were sent out. I understand why they were sent to the other nations, because of their evilness against one another, or their
hatred for no reason.
I understand that. So we're dealing with just that frame of time that, as we're speaking of, as to why the land vomited out the inhabitants of Jerusalem or Israel. So we're not talking about today. If someone leaves Israel, let's say a rabbi leaves Israel today, very known, well-respected rabbi, and he comes to
your synagogue to teach. He's invited to do a Shabbaton with your synagogue. So he flies from Israel. It's not considered vomiting out, because he still lives in Israel. He's planning to return. His consciousness is to come out and teach, and then to return to the land. But an Israeli who moves to Los Angeles, he's planning to live in Los Angeles. He left Egypt. He left Israel to go to Egypt. He left Israel. His consciousness was not to return, or maybe to return after many, many years. But he's leaving to earn his living, which is an element of lack of trust in Hashem.
Okay.
So it's considered that he was vomited out.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to understand, because there is some rabbis that live in the United States, let's say that. Their intentions, they never return back to Israel. Now, there are some that keep a residence there.
You have to be talking about someone who was born in the land of Israel.
Right.
The rabbi was born in the United States, traveled to Israel to become a rabbi, and then came back to the United States. It's considered the land, vomited him out. Because once you're living in the land of Israel, you are an Israeli in the concept of the Torah.
I just want to kind of clear that up in my own mind. As to
no problem. Go ahead.
It pertains to the same statue as if they left Israel to come to the United States or other international countries and stay there and never return back to Israel.
Then it is considered that the land vomited them out.
Okay. But they're renowned rabbis. I mean, renowned Kabbalists, renowned scholars, renowned, you know.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question. But always keep in mind, when we say that the land vomited them out, well, we perceive that as a negative effect. But the positive effect is they live in exile in order to teach, but not teach the way we teach today or even in the past. They teach by living an example of the Torah. You teach by the way you live. You let others observe you by the way you live. They ask a question. Obviously, you teach Torah the way we understand it. You answer their question. But in effect, the issue is, how do you live your life?
So basically, they've taken their, kind of like, I'm going to put it in the scenario of Abraham and the lower aspects of it. They've taken their evil inclination with them because they're not in Israel where they need to be, but they made a choice to bring that side of them with their positive, you know, aspects as well. And their consciousness is to go out and teach truth, and I say truth, quotation mark truth, to spread the word of Hashem to other nations. So they've taken upon themselves to bring that negative aspect with them to do this misvote in trying to sound like Yom Kippur, trying to teach them and bring human beings closer to God. So it's a good thing for the inhabitants of that nation that choose to indulge in the teaching, but it puts a mark on the rabbi or that teacher's soul because they're not in Israel where they should be. Did you hear all that?
Yeah, I did hear all of it. I'm trying to affect a response that brings the issue to the fore. Someone comes out of Israel to teach, to bring people closer to Hashem. That's a mitzvah. Except the nation of Israel saw a lot of miracles. Moses was there teaching a lot of miracles, demonstrating a lot of miracles. Did the children of Israel learn from Moses' words, from Moses' life, from seeing the miracles themselves? The answer is no. That's why they sinned, all those 10 sins in the desert. The building of the golden calf, the Lashon Hara of the spies, and so forth. The conflict with Korah. There were 10 different negative actions by the nation. Why? Because they did not have an example of Torah living. In Egypt, the closest they came to Torah living was they kept separate from Egypt. But in truth, they didn't keep separate from Egypt. They kept three things. They kept the language. They kept their names. And they kept the traditions, God forbid. I don't mean traditions. They lived separate. They lived in Goshen, where the Egyptians were in the other parts of Egypt. What was the mistake? They never had an example of the living correctly, because they were in the mixture of Egypt. The way to teach is not with words, because people do not learn from words. People learn by watching examples. How does a child learn to speak? By hearing the words the parents say. How does a child learn the way to live, the appropriate way? By watching their parents, not by what they say. I do, not what I say. Because we don't learn from words. But not the way the...
Has joined.
It's not the way the teaching is done in the Western world. It's done with words, not by examples. But to teach Torah, you have to teach by example. Then someone can come and say, why did you do that? And now you have an opening to give them wisdom in words. But the real issue was, did they ask the question? Was there a vessel there ready to learn, open to learn? That can only come when you live an exemplary life, when you live a life of Torah. And someone then comes to you and says, why are you doing these things? I see you're living a peaceful life. I see you living a restful life. I see you living with shalom bayit. I see your children are following in your footsteps. You're demonstrating Torah by living it. That is how you teach, not with words. And now who's saying these words to you? Someone who teaches with words. Well, let's complete the English translation. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the entire congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. Very famous verse, a lot of commentary. How do we understand the word holy? How do we define it? Verse 3, every man shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall observe my Shabbats. I am Hashem, your God. In this verse, we have the female listed first. In other places in the Torah, the male is listed first. What is the meaning that the mother, fear your mother and your father? The Hebrew word is yirah, which can also be awe rather than fear. You shall not turn to the worthless idols, nor shall you make molten deities for yourselves. I am Hashem, your God. When you slaughter a peace offering to Hashem, you shall slaughter it for your acceptance. What is the meaning of this verse? When you bring an offering that's a peace offering, you shall slaughter it. Your purpose of slaughtering the animal for the peace offering is to be accepted. Accepted by the nation, accepted by Hashem, accepted by yourself. These are questions that need to be answered as you understand the verse. Verse 6, it may be eaten on the day you slaughter it and on the morrow, but anything left over until the third day shall be burned in fire. That's from this verse is another indication of why we need three vessels in order to have hot tea on Shabbat when you can't cook. Verse 7, and if it would be eaten on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. And whoever eats it shall bear his sin, because he has profaned what is holy to Hashem. And that person shall be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not fully reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you collect the individual grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am Hashem, your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deny falsely. You shall not lie, one man to his fellow. That's a lie as in L-I-E. Not in the sense of sexuality. You shall not swear falsely by my name, thereby profaning the name of your God. I am Hashem. You shall not oppress your fellow. You shall not rob. The hired worker's wage shall not remain with you overnight until the morning. You shall not curse a deaf person. You shall not place a stumbling block before a blind person. And you shall fear Hashem. I am Hashem. That's the completion. Are there any other questions? As you're unmuting yourself, I will mention that we have an 11 o'clock class that is the class on Musar, the Path of the Just. We have a 4 p.m. class where we will have a deep Zohar along with the counting of the Omer. And our 7 o'clock class tonight is questions and answers. I bid you all a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Are there any questions?
Has joined.
Say it again. It broke up.
Do you have the reincarnation class every day at 3, or is it just certain days?
Just Monday.
Just Monday. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the lesson.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom to everyone. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.